This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Welcome to Treks in the City with Alice and... Sorry, you guys. I know it sucks. Veronica is gone again. And it's been a week and now 2 weeks of that bullshit.
We have sort of a problem here.
And the problem is that Veronica's mom's housing situation in Texas is fucked up. And so she had to go down there to help her remedy the situation because of global warming.
They're here.
Is bad. And there's, was a horrible storm and the governor of Texas didn't do anything and nobody, the infrastructure of Texas basically, you know, is terrible and not working for people. And so the whole population was completely fucked, especially normal income people. And so Veronica was like,
you cannot pass!
Doesn't really work for that.
It was so strange that she did that specifically. Yeah,
I know. Actually, the storm was like, your mom's gonna have to be homeless now. And Veronica was like,
and I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my
mother. So that she could save her from the basically having to move places by herself. So we are going to see Veronica soon. And in the meantime, same as last week, I'm going to ask that everybody just sing into a crystal. Look at a crystal, sing into a crystal, light a candle, leave a candle lit in a place where your roommate will find it and get mad about it, because that's one of the, Veronica will definitely get that message. That's a fair assessment.
This one's coming out before the one we did a moment ago.
Oh, strange. Okay. So everything I've said,
we're in a time loop.
Can you believe it? It's like we're not even covering an episode of Star Trek in which a time loop occurs, and yet I'm already in a time loop. I mean,
we're just so on theme. We're so on. Yeah.
Sky, the voice you're hearing again, you're like, who's that other voice? That's Skylar. He is the producer on this show, and he's been shepherding us through this time when Anna left to do other podcasts. She was like, whatever. No, actually, she is very skilled, and her skills were in demand, to be honest. So we got Skylar here with us, just saving us from the vacuum of just me. And we do have a guest today. So everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
We're very excited because unfortunately, this is going to be way more fun if Veronica was here to help me tease and tickle this person who we've wanted to have on the show for a very, very, very long time. And we've talked about it. I know you guys will know that we've talked about it, but we didn't get to have him on because up until the pandemic, you know, we couldn't trap him. But today's the day when we were able to finally entrap him into a situation in which he had no choice but to say yes to me and be on this show with us. So you know him from being talked about on this show a lot. And also from just being a great guy and a fantastic musician and bass player. Please give it up for Garrett Lang.
What's up?
Oh my God. I'm in love with you.
Well, I guess people know I'm real because I used to call in all the time, right?
That's right. You would call. You're the person who calls.
Yeah.
And for the guests listening along with us now, the reason it sounds like Garrett's in another room and not in the same room with me is because he is. Honestly, there's no way to really prove that we're still together. At a certain point, it would be fun for the video for me to run into the room that you're in.
That would be fun. Or I could just, you could shout really loud.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, if I mute my audio, maybe you can hear me on Garrett. Hold on. Did you hear it?
Very slightly. I'm excited to turn that up quite a bit.
Okay, exciting.
On, I assume Garrett's track. I'm going to be looking forward to seeing if Zoom picked it up.
I saw the meter move a little bit. So I think you're there.
So, oh my God, this is so wonderful to have you here, sort of, but not really. You watched the episode with me.
I did, yeah.
You watched a lot of Star Trek with me, actually.
No, yeah, I mean, I feel like I still have a lot of questions just generally about the series, you know?
The individual episodes didn't answer.
Yeah. you've come to the right place for questions, pretty much. I mean, I can't imagine a more convenient place for you to ask a question about Star Trek than this podcast that you're on right now.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
I guess Google, but please don't do that. Silently Google your questions.
Which we'll be doing. So
true. What's going to happen is you're going to ask them and I'm going to pontificate while Skylar Googles.
And then I'll find something adjacent to an answer to your question and it'll be really helpful.
Garrett, you might hear in Garrett's voice that it's very deep and sexy. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not. But Garrett's not paying attention right now, so he can't. So oftentimes I'll be sitting down in my studio making a podcast and I'll be like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Like, because I have a view of the canyon or whatever. And then also the back patio, which cats will appear sometimes, neighborhood cats. And right now, one of my favorite neighborhood cats is there. I should name him. He's a tortie. He's a fluffy tortie. And I mean, he or she is so cute. Little pretty shy, doesn't really, but it does seem like it's domesticated. But I'll be like, oh my God, I wish that the guests could see. And essentially you could, but it wouldn't work for our podcast for you to run down here. So I feel like what I just said was like, if you were like, I just need you to talk for a little bit.
I need to hear
that's
your
what
voice,
I just felt like that's what I just said, but this cat is mesmerizing me. It's okay. Our listeners, Garrett, are very used to me talking about just random cat facts. And so what are your questions about Star Trek?
Well, I mean, a lot of them got answered. I got a little stoned last night when we watched that episode and I was like, do they go on vacation? Like just kind of basic stuff like that. You know, I found
out
about
shore
leave.
I don't like you speaking derogatorily about yourself when you're stoned because
the impression you did of yourself there was really offensive to you.
It was too offensive to you. Don't be like that. You were really great. You were like very earnest about it.
I was incredibly earnest.
And I was like, I did some improv with the show a little bit. I like to talk over the show and you just looked at me and said, really earnestly, you said, improv?
The other thing I thought was really funny, which I guess maybe you've talked about on the show, but how close everybody talks to each other.
Very
like
recently.
They're fucking like a foot away from each other. And I just feel like that's so inappropriate. Also, like, were they eating and like, could they smell each other's breath? Like, I don't know. Just weird.
Yeah. It's a 90s sort of thing. I think it happened a lot on 90s shows, but you don't see it as much because they've corrected for that. Especially on this show, people just will walk right up. They'll rock right into each other's face.
I know. Like when Deanna is like, I was, you know, stressed out and angry. And like, and then they're all standing around her, like
giving her no space.
Yeah. Exactly. No space at all. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like, what if we re-stress you out right now by really, really crowding in on you? Would that be helpful?
Exactly.
She's just so used to it though. She's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Someone's pelvis is right by my cheek. Perfect. Yeah,
that's protocol on
Seems
ship.
Norms. Yeah. Totes yeah. norms.
HR, all HR meetings are done so long as you can smell yeah. someone's breath. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because it's the first HR meeting I've had where I can't smell someone's scrotum.
Yeah.
So are you having a beer, darling?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow. I love it. Friday. Am I right?
It's the weekend. It's
Friday.
It's the weekend. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm wearing a turtleneck and a sweater over it because it's the freaking weekend, baby. So this is my podcast persona, which I'm just very aware of right now because my boyfriend is on the other end of things. So that's a fun experiment we're going through right now.
I'm used to it. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Well, I guess. All right, but are you used to this? Ha ha!
I don't know what changed.
Nothing has happened.
You didn't hear anything?
No.
I can put the reverb on.
Oh yeah, it didn't.
You can kind of hear it.
No.
No.
Oh, that was great. Leave that
another
in.
Another good section. Another good. Thing
another good
on
piece
too.
Of content here. So Garrett helps me with all my recording equipment, and he helped me get this whole thing set up. So if anything doesn't work, such as the reverb, that'll be on him to figure out later on. So that's the question you have about Star Trek. People just, do they go on vacation?
Yeah. I was curious about vacations, which you answered. I was really curious about the close talking. And then, no, I mean, I think more will come up as we make our way through the episode.
Nope. Gotta have it now.
Well,
we'll wait.
We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
On mic, just in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Hey, Garrett, can I talk to you? So this episode is called, and I have to just like swerve over here to see it. This episode is called Eye of the Beholder. It is season 7, episode 18. The Netflix synopsis: while investigating a crew member's suicide, Troy is overwhelmed by strange visions. Meanwhile, her bond with Worf deepens. So, it's a romantic episode. It's a another sort of ghostly anomaly aboard the ship episode, which I love. This is one of the episodes I've seen several times because I like these types of episodes where one person is able to see something nobody else can see, and it seems to be involving space somehow. And just pure sci-fi for me, you know? In this episode, we see Worf and Troy kind of like get really, truly involved. And this is the second episode in which they've been involved, but it's in like an alternate timeline. So it's an interesting thing they're doing where the writers have Troy and Worf have this relationship, but it never quite happens in real reality. It's always in like their dreams or something. So I guess you'd call it a crush. It's like what Garrett was with me before I finally decided to go out with him.
I totally feel Worf. Like there's that awkward scene where they're like, where he's like, well, I guess I'll just say goodnight now. And she's like, okay. And he's like, good night, and waits longer. Like that's totally happened to me over and over again. so many times.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, Garrett, how your big Achilles heel was closing the deal.
Oh, yeah. I am not a closer. Really good opening lines.
Great opening lines. And I don't understand how that's true, because with me, you closed the deal, right? Or is it because I made the deal?
No, you made the whole deal. Yeah.
Oh, I just made the whole deal.
I just signed.
Like, yeah, you just signed on the dotted line. You had a broker involved, you know? You got to have a broker. That's too bad.
But I did I did have the good opener with you. That was what got me in the first place.
Yeah, but we still can't agree what the fuck that was, which is really annoying to me. And, you know, there were other people present. So I feel like I feel like Courtney was there.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was there to witness it. Because I exclaimed, and so did the person that was with me. They were like,
oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that.
Kind of, right?
Yeah.
What if it's like Mike? So Garrett and I play honest softball. And oh my God, I can't believe it. That's internalized misogyny right there. Me saying softball instead of baseball. Because so every time I say I play baseball, I could say it right to somebody's face. Seconds later, they'll be like, so softball. Like, it just, people cannot grasp that I play baseball. But it's not a Hondo P because I'm a woman. It's, I'd say 50% sexism, 50% most adults play softball, not baseball.
It's the softer of the two games.
It is the softer, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of adults play on recreational softball leagues, right?
Yeah.
Gee?
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Isn't that
I'll
true,
also Gee? Agree.
Yeah.
But Gee and I played on the baseball league together. And we were on opposite teams. And how long had you played in rec league before we met?
I don't know, maybe 5 years, something like that.
Okay, same. So yeah,
Where does baseball happen in this town? In LA, I really don't know where.
In a park, there's a thing called a baseball diamond.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Understood.
What if that's what you were asking?
Yeah. I don't mean to blow up your secret baseball spot, I suppose. But I truly don't know where. Well, actually, no, I do know Dodger Stadium. Do you guys play at Dodger Stadium? Is that where this?
Fuck. Yeah. I wish. Yeah. No.
Oh, cute. That was 100% not ironic.
That was, yeah, totally. Super totally sincere. Genuine. No, it's cool because I grew up playing baseball and loved baseball to death and was searching for years and years to find a place to play and people to play with and tried to organize it myself and never could really get it together. My friends all suck.
They sound great.
And
if you're listening and you're Garrett's friend, I'm sorry about that.
This is the one thing that I am grateful to Facebook for is I found a Facebook group called Hardball for Softies. And it was a bunch of kind of, holy, you know, 20 shit. Something people.
You're a Hardball for Softies person.
Yeah.
That's crazy because I remember when we found Hardball for Softies when I was in the league that was created after, like, I was in the LA Parks and Recreation League, which I and a bunch of other people from that league left when our
team. Because it was too gnarly.
Our team decided to. Okay, I'm going to be so fucking petty right now because it is petty as fuck. It's competitive sports, so you can be petty. But I was on this team with a bunch of friends of mine who, you know, we were like, it was basically, we treated it like a beer league and, you know, we're like in our 20s or whatever. And we show up and, you know, different levels of skill, but whatever. I was the only girl in the entire league, but still, whatever. I mean, I wasn't the worst player, but like, they just got more and more competitive over the seasons. And then to the point where we were single A and there was a double A and a triple A and a majors portion of the LA Parks and Rec League. And I don't know how many people play in the majors league. I mean, like, but whatever. My team decided they got so good that they were going to go up to double A. And like a bunch of us were like, no, we never play as it is. Like, I hate this now. And they were so aggro. And we were just like, fuck that. Like, we just want to play baseball and like be a part of a league that isn't like super weird and bro-y and competitive and like contemplating roids. And so like they did go up to the next level, and of course we're wiped off the board immediately, which is so satisfying. It's like they thought. It's like there's, no.
Oh man, there's nothing like being completely overmatched in baseball too, where there's like no chance. It's not like soccer or other sports. Yeah.
What I call back and forth ball.
when I was like in Little League one time, I was like, I swore I could pitch, and then like one game I was on a not very good Little League team, and we like ran through a bunch of pitchers, and then finally like the coach was like, okay, let's try Skylar out. What are the stakes here? And then I was like so confident. I was like, once the pressure's on, cause I was blowing it in practice, I couldn't pitch. But then I was like, once the pressure's on, then I'm going to shine, which I don't know what that calculus was about. Because I managed to then just walk everybody until they swapped me out for another pitcher.
It's incredible that your parents, I don't know what your parents did to make you be like that. Yeah, like
just the stupid
unbridled
confidence,
confidence of being like, I've never been good at this before. Yeah. No reason to think I'd be good at it.
But why not do it when there are stakes? Yeah.
But let's add another. Another thing that usually makes people worse at something, pressure.
Like, and I still remember that.
Yeah. Garrett and I, we are not having kids, but if we did, we would want to raise them that way. This is how Garrett, by the way, this is how Garrett is finding out we're not having kids, by the way, he's saying that on this podcast. So for the listeners, it's an exclusive.
In 2 minutes.
what, honey?
I said, we'll talk about this later in 2 minutes on the podcast. Yeah.
No, we won't. So, that covers our meeting, but do you want to tell Skylar? Cause I'm sure he's curious what the thing was that we both, our versions of what you said.
The really inappropriate thing that I said that.
Yeah. What was the line?
I said something like, wow.
Well, it was off of what I was saying, right? Like you didn't just come up and say this apropos of nothing. I was bragging about this.
Yeah, maybe because Alice catches, and I don't. Maybe you were bragging. That's good.
I wasn't catching yet. This was when I had started lifting, and I was like, "Yeah, my legs are super strong. Like, I might have like very strong legs and thighs. I could like crush him. I believe that I said something like I could crush a man's skull with my.
I don't
thighs.
Think you did. I think I jumped to that. You said something about your legs being strong, maybe, but then I was like, "Yeah, your legs are so strong you could rip my head off."
Hmm.
But I see how I that believe... segues.
No, but see, that on its own isn't inappropriate. No, because I think what he said is like I'd like you to crush my skull with your legs, or I'd like you to rip my head off with your legs.
That would be inappropriate. I don't think I said that, though. I think I said,
try you could rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like even a dare. It was just like that. Whatever he said was like, I want my face in between your legs. It was like what was communicated, which is very forward. You know, I just remember it being like, whoa, like I was like, whoa. And the person next to me was like, whoa. And even he was like, whoa. And
one of those things where it's like, I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, I was
exactly
immediately.
But it worked because listen to his voice. So, yeah, if he had a voice, he was like, everybody would be like, you're a ripping fucking my hand pervert off, and you're off the league.
Yeah, if it was some upsetting toddler voice saying, crush your head, crush my head with your powerful thighs, it would be a little more upsetting.
Crush my head with your powerful thighs.
And Alice is like, ooh.
really like, into the toddler voice.
But I was like, I like that confidence. And so then I asked him out. The rest is history.
Yeah, and the way you asked me out was really good, too. It was like, hey, you texted me out of the blue. You're like,
she crushed your leg. Or she crushed your head.
Hey, I'd love to crush your head sometimes with my.
Hey, I'd love to crush your leg with my car. Is that what we were talking about?
No, yeah, it's just like,
a game of telephone for forever until you finally like you.
Look, somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
No, you were like, if you win this game, I'll let you take me to Sizzler or something like that.
Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, this is a killer line. It's a killer opener. And I was like, let me just press send. And then you just were like, habajibuduba. Like you were so drunk or something. Your response was like, yeah. It was so disappointing.
No, yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't think I was wasted and you were out.
No, I wasn't drunk at that point. It was like the next couple days, and then I went to that crazy wedding.
Almost,
yeah, it's always the weddings.
Always the weddings. If you're listening at home, by the way, and you'd like to and you'd like to hear from one of our sponsors. Oh, I can't do this because I have to share sound here. Okay. Basic, advanced. You know, basic, advanced. Oh, that's actually what it's called. If you're listening from home and you're thinking of getting married, you should try having a basic, advanced wedding. What's a basic, advanced wedding, you're asking? Well, we're still working on it. check back later on in the episode. We'll try to come up with something. Fuck, we have all this VC money. Ooh, they did not prepare for that ad. The one thing about not having Veronica on the show is that I can just do whatever I want. That is something that should happen, maybe never again. So I'm going to share the opener of this episode. I remember when we showed it, Garrett, you were like, ooh, it's exciting because the klaxons were blaring, which you loved.
The klaxons, that's the alarm.
Yeah, I love the word klaxons. It's a great word. It's such a good word. People are turning off the episode.
People are coming to the episode now.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh,
klaxon convo. Yeah.
I can't shut down the plasma injectors. Somebody's locked out the controls.
The plasma venting system has engaged.
So you got Worf crawling through a Jeffries tube.
Riker debris.
Riker also.
In a cell tube.
Acknowledge.
Release the exterior hull plate. Then they have to jettison the core.
Aye, sir.
Hate to have to jettison the core. And so they're in a...
What happened?
Plasma conduit room.
He locked out the controls. Before he knew what was happening, he stepped up onto the walkway.
See if you can help shut down the plasma flow.
Worf's like, sure, I know how to do that.
I'm afraid if we try to get any closer, he'll jump through the force field.
So Riker has to talk down yet another guy who's about to commit suicide.
It's is that Riker's thing?
No, yeah. Nobody ever is about to commit suicide. Riker.
I was here yesterday, remember?
He's looking at him like he's a spooked deer.
I didn't want to do it.
And this guy.
But I saw them. And they laughed at me.
Uh-huh. Looking mad suicidal.
They laughed.
Whatever happened, we can talk about it. I want to help.
Riker now scanning his brain for times he laughed at him.
I just want to see your face. That's all. So we can talk.
I know what I have to do.
Dan, no!
I have unlocked the controls.
I feel like he could get closer to him.
There's still plasma.
Yeah, he really could. It's the one time he doesn't close
talk. Tell me what happened.
He's just arbitrarily like, here's where I'll stop.
I know what I have to do.
Yeah, he's like feet away from him. His hand was next to him. Riker just slams the control pump. Hey, that's delicate equipment. And so the guy jumps to his death. And the rest of the episode, people are like, why did this guy die?
Yeah, why didn't Riker... Why don't they have some, like, grabber thing or, you know, freeze ray?
A space grabber. Yeah, they could have stunned him.
Because it's not like it's not like the ledge of a building. Like... He's like, his legs are firmly planted. Like he's not going to fall forward. Like he could intervene. I don't know.
Yeah. This it's like strange. Riker trying to put, did Riker push him?
Yeah. Riker was like, why don't you see what's in there? Yeah.
I've never seen this before. Go for it.
I want to see what happens. Come on.
I've never seen.
Who gives a shit about Dan? Everybody's laughing at him anyway.
That might be really cool for you.
So it sucks. And everybody's like,
I was with him just the other day when I supervised the tube refit.
How did he seem then?
Fine. I complimented him on getting the refit done faster than expected. He was pleased that I'd noticed.
Then I started laughing at him.
I met with him about 6 weeks ago during the crew evaluations. He was very positive. He was looking forward to being posted to the nacelle tube.
He was a good officer with a fine career ahead of him. I don't understand why he'd wanted to.
In my years as a Starfleet captain, I've had to notify many parents of the loss of loved ones, but never before the suicide. I would like to be able to offer Lieutenant Quan's parents an explanation of what happened to try to help them make sense of this.
Well, maybe he left a message of some kind, explaining why he did it.
I would like the two of you to piece together a picture of his last few days.
If he made any personal logs, it might be helpful to look through them.
You're authorized to do so.
They're like, yes, diary entries. So they go basically into his quarters and start rooting around to see what was going on with Officer Dan. Worf is being super sensitive, and Deanna finds that very attractive. And I think we all do, you know, to a certain extent, especially during a pandemic.
To be sensitive right
now. To see that kind of masculinity.
Yeah, that vulnerability.
Yeah.
Especially from such a tough guy.
Such a tough guy. Just, we don't get to see that side of him very often.
Normally he's doing the thing he was asked to do with the buttons earlier.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
That ties
him up. And he's like, I'll punch a bunch of buttons. Hopefully that does something.
Oh, that was my question. And maybe this is, you couldn't answer it last night, but what's up with his sash?
Yeah, maybe that's a Google. That is a Google.
It looks like they look like can tops.
Like totally. Bottle. Yeah. So he collects old cans from every time he goes through and puts the tabs on a sash. It's
a strange hobby for this
guy. Is, and it's, but it's, you know, people have their thing, and that's kind of Worf's thing. Yeah. He's like a collector of can tabs.
I didn't know if that was like,
I'm a soda pop enthusiast. Every planet we go to, I find what's the equivalent of, you know, fizz pop, and I go there just to see what kind of weird sodas they. Every planet has weird sodas, and that's sort of my thing.
I'm seeing here that the soda pop thing is called a baldric. It is a wide, usually ornamental belt worn over one shoulder and around the waist that is typically used to carry weapons and or denote rank.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was like a, because he's the like head security officer, or what's his title?
He's head of security, but the person who was head of security before him, Tasha Yar, did not wear a baldric. So it seems like a Klingon thing.
Okay.
I'm seeing a number of different kinds of cultures baldrics on this fandom wiki entry. So it's very, he does have a Klingon baldric, but it seems there are many.
You could have maybe a Cardassian baldric.
It's a versatile garment.
I love
it. It's pretty badass. Yeah.
Yeah. The can top thing.
Do you want a baldric for Christmas, Garrett?
And nothing else.
Get to work collecting can tops.
Yeah. I've got to start my can top collection right away. What else happens? So the next scene is sort of like them talking to people about Officer Dan. Everybody's like, we love him. He's great. Nobody ever had a problem with him. So it's, the mystery deepens. But then when Deanna Troi goes to the like plasma conduit room by herself for some reason to investigate, she like senses something crazy happening. And that's also the point in the episode where I sensed that she had work done recently, which is not something I mentioned last night. You could kind of tell there's
a strange disturbance
going on. Yeah. I sensed it. Yeah. So for Garrett's benefit, I'll play this scene where everybody's standing around her really
oh yeah
really closely.
So inappropriate.
And let me know if you can't see this.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing too, because she just sensed this thing happen. She puts her hand over her mouth. Are she goes right? down the stairs. Oh, and this lady fucking pops up.
I don't know.
Scares the shit out of her. And then finally they cut to commercial, even though that whole thing could have been done in just her being scared. Didn't need to.
I don't know how to describe it. I was suddenly overwhelmed by a flood of emotions.
Weird angle.
Fear, rage, panic. And the sensations didn't seem to be coming from any person.
And I'm still overwhelmed right now because you were all standing on top of me.
I
thought you said you were
alone. I was.
Can I get a little
I scanned the area.
Okay, I scanned the area too, and you're right up in my shit. God. I'm finding an anomalous reading, which is your butt right by my fucking face. So basically, Deanna starts sensing some weird shit going on in the plasma. Conduit thing. I don't know if that's what it's called, but that's what I'm calling it. And it feels right. But he, Worf, is like having feelings. So then they go her quarters.
Come in.
And they have this adorable interaction.
Hello, Worf.
Counselor, have you found anything in Lieutenant Kwan's logs?
Everything I've read suggests that he was well-adjusted and optimistic.
Worf's
it just
so
doesn't make any
that.
Sense.
He's like, I
Can
meant
I get you
his
anything?
Poops.
No. No. No, nothing.
His poop logs.
Nuts. Uridian tea.
I made that joke last night. Similar reception.
I've been thinking about what happened to me in the nacelle tube. Whether it was an empathic echo left by Kwan's death.
In the past, have your empathic experiences always involved the physical presence of another person?
See, this part is interesting to me because, like, Worf normally is not like this at all. He's not curious about other people ever. So I feel like that's a good way of judging that he actually has a crush on Deanna because, like, normally if somebody's like, this was weird thing happened to me, Worf's like, I would shoot it. And he, like, walks away or whatever.
A weird thing happened for me. That's strange for you.
Yeah, it's always just like, well, weird things don't happen to me.
My preference is not weird things.
I prefer things to be normal.
No, he's definitely trying to get it. Yeah.
And he's totally doing that thing that guys do when they're trying to get it, where they're like, listen, I'd like to know more about you, even though they don't. They don't want to know.
I'm sure of, yes.
What do you mean, sure of?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, when I was a little girl,
interested?
My grandfather used to tell me stories by the fire.
Oh, family.
I would close my eyes and listen to his mind for hours on end.
Close your eyes now.
He would tell you these stories telepathically.
My grandfather rarely spoke. Mm-hmm. He said that was for off-worlders and people who didn't know any better. Now the only time I can remember his stories is when I go home and sit by the fireplace. Sometimes when I'm alone there, it's almost as if I can hear his voice inside my head.
Yes. Yes, I too have sought visions in fire.
I can't explain.
So, like, imagine later when Worf goes home and takes a shower and he's like, I too have sought visions by the fire. Idiot! Idiot! So fucking stupid.
Here's another question. What's the percentage of, like, onboard crimes that get solved? Because I get the feeling, like, the Enterprises are really bad place to commit a crime because you're fucked. Because
all the criminals are in the same place, yeah.
Yeah, and you're stuck in a spaceship, and so, like, what, are you going to cover up your tracks? Like, everything is tracks. There's, like, neutrino tracks. There's, like, cellular residue tracks. It's just, like, everybody on board the ship has the ability to solve any crime because everyone's a scientist. So, like, it's like doing, it's like committing murder in the CSI lab or something. Yeah. It's, like, a really bad idea.
How did this go wrong?
There's just no...
It's, like, murder on expert mode. Yeah, you're so, like, how do I get away with it among these people?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they must be rocking, like, a 100% solve rate.
Yeah, they're
a fucking...
There's approximately zero cold cases in the files on the database. So Worf is now in this, like, position where he's like, fuck, I have a crush on Deanna. Like, how do I you know, close the deal or whatever. And he has to go to, he's like, well, I'm a man, so I have to talk to other man about who she belongs to. Because again, and we'll cover this a little bit more in the next episode, but like gender equality dynamics have remained exactly the same in four centuries. Nothing has changed at all. So he goes to the 10 forward to, you know, have
go to the bar.
He sees Will just fucking tearing fucking it up.
Will in that shirt. Jesus Christ.
Commander, two Tillman Froths, please.
Tillman Froths? My God. It's a Tuesday. Get your shit together.
Lieutenant Correll seems to be enjoying your company.
I'd like to think so.
Are you involved with her?
Not yet.
I'm not sure yet.
He's a fucking deal closer.
No.
Also, quite the like Lothario shirt he's got on.
Dude, the situation with you before proceeding further.
The hair is just flowing.
It, that really wouldn't have been necessary.
I mean,
out
of that. Yeah, look at that. Never want between you and someone you are involved with.
His chest hair, I mean.
Had ever been involved yeah. with.
Is there someone in particular that you're talking about?
No. Is there someone in particular you would rather I not be involved with?
Mr. Worf, you sound like a man who's asking his friend if he can start dating his sister.
No, I was merely... Oh, never mind. Excuse me, sir.
So he's like, Worf, can I get back to my Tillman Froths? or is this going to be a thing? So that I thought that was pretty cute that Worf is basically asking him permission to go out with Deanna. And but then in the middle of the interaction, he's like, oh, I guess it's the 24th century. We don't need to do this.
Yeah, you are not Deanna's keeper. It turns out Deanna's keeper.
It's yeah. And also the thing about Deanna is that Deanna is like also like this is not a question you ask Garrett, but like Deanna Troi is very like she's also a Lothario. She's like, I don't.
Yeah, she's an independent woman. I know that
she's independent. You oh okay, see that's so attractive to me. Garrett keeps it at 100 at all times. yeah, but she doesn't get like she's like the weird thing is Deanna never gets jealous. Like if Will like Will Riker and Deanna Troi have had a thing for like eons, but like every time Will Riker is on a date, she's like, "Ooh, you're on a date. Ooh, tell me about it." She's like wants to know the details of his sexual exploits and stuff. She's not jealous like ever. And so it's weird that once she starts dating Worf in this episode, she like immediately gets jealous. That for me was the first red flag. It's like something is going on here that is not, this isn't normal.
She's not all right.
Yeah, she's not okay because she would never care. Like she just isn't like that, you know?
Yeah, but also she can just read. You know, right? She can like read
yeah,
their mind.
If yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, if you were dating somebody and you could read their mind, and they were talking to somebody else, you would be able to note the threat level because you'd be like, is there deception involved in their flirtation? You know, are they like, if the person you're dating is like flirting with somebody but also worried about it? You know what I mean? Like, if they're flirting, fine, but if they're flirting and they're like. Doing like a internal
no
looking
flirting,
around
yeah.
like I don't want to get canceled emotion or whatever then you'd know to be
yeah like self there's a self-protective thing
if there's
to
a
it, self-preservation like really upsetting actually
yeah, yeah. It's probably not
a bad sign yeah
so they go and they continuously interview people together and meanwhile they have a little date they sleep together. And it's the first time anybody's ever done a full makeout, really.
Really?
The Enterprise. People don't generally, I mean, they make out with guest stars, but they don't make out usually with like, other crew members. Yeah. It's like not a very common thing. So let's see that scene. And I will press play in three. Two. I just want everybody to get ready to be really horny. 3, 2.
Morning.
Warning.
It is late.
Horny morning.
Yes, and you must
have. This is what I'm talking about.
A little.
When do I make them?
So I will say goodnight.
Good night. And this is where Garrett would walk out.
You should get a
I guess you
tomorrow.
Mean what you said.
I think we should.
And I'd take you at your word.
I'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
Yes.
Bye.
Why are we still here then?
Nice.
I like going for the hand first. That's cool.
I love a go. Yeah. Garrett, if you're ever single again, go for the hand. We'll help
also
you
like
out.
That they have some actual distance before this happens. The first people in the episode to not be right up on each other.
Yeah, they had to close the gap because there was one. This is a ferocious makeout, I'm just saying. This is like a lot.
Also just like, it's fun to see a standing makeout too.
It
like I feel
is
like usually
a great time. So he
how
wakes
do we
her
feel
up the next
about,
morning.
Yeah, but how do we feel about making breakfast for the other person after the first date?
Right, but you got to imagine it's the first date, but like they've
they're
known
lifelong
each other.
Friends. Yeah. Or not lifelong. Gotcha.
I mean, if you just met, yeah, maybe not be in their home using their equipment.
Breakfast is ready.
That sounds nice.
I made a huge mess in your kitchen.
Oh, wait. Really fucked up. You're not going to want to eat this.
Listen. I made pancakes and eggs and pie and...
Yeah, I made like a sitcom like banquet of food. I hope you're insanely like worryingly hungry.
I hope you woke up just shaking with hunger because I otherwise don't know what we're going to do. And I know wasting food is kind of fucked up. You could kind of feed it back into the replicator, but it's a mess. It's a mess either way, to be honest.
I'm going to have to run right after this, so if you don't mind doing all of the dishes.
I like the idea of sleeping over at somebody's house and then you wake them up like, hey, good news and bad news.
Like, I made you breakfast, but I also don't, I'm not a good cook.
So. The kitchen. Good news, bad news. Which do you want first? But they have replicators, so there's no dishes to be done. I think in the replicator world, like all the dishes are also made of poop, right? Because everything's just made of people's poop and recycled like matter. So I mean, you guys probably can't confirm this, but I'm going to go ahead and say that the plates are replicated too. So the plates are poop plates. And when you're done with them, you just put them back into the replicator thing to be remade into new matter.
Yeah.
You've
By the
totally
way, Garrett, what do you want
me.
For dinner?
I have no idea what you're talking about. You mean the replicator?
But on the board, the ship and the Enterprise, there's not like a chef that makes the food. And there's not like food.
It's not like MREs.
Pantries. You don't cook for people. You just
right,
replicate.
Right. There's the thing that happens. But that's your theory is that it's. Waste that gets turned back into
waste and other organic matter. You
cool.
know, I think I've heard that on other ships that it's like in other sci-fi franchises, it's poop, right? Am I just making this up?
I'm hearing this.
Everybody's
for the
acting like I'm crazy. Hey, it's poop. Okay, listen to women. 2021. It's poop.
It's true. It's poop.
Okay.
And honestly, defying the. Possibility of it being poop is super not cool.
It's
anymore,
very so. Sexist to yeah. it. Suggest it's not poop that they're eating. Okay? So just know that.
Stop being so backwards looking. It's all poop.
If you're denying it might be poop, you're part of the problem. Okay? So I think it's poop.
It's poop. No, it's true. It's poop.
You know, I support women. It's poop.
It's actually, it's brave of me to say. I just want to get right out in front of this. It is
you got to be recognized for it. You got to get out in front. You're basically the Prince Harry 100%. Conversation. So, so basically, like they start having a fun affair, and then it should go sideways like almost immediately when Deanna's like, oh, he's cheating on me, and all this weird stuff happens, and then they realize that she's. Basically, at the end of the episode, what happens is that they're like, they find out that Deanna has been having like a weird empathic ability induced a hallucination that seems to occur for her in the span of days, but it actually is like takes 2 minutes, where she originally had that freak out on board, like standing at the plasma inducer. So she's been standing there for 2 minutes, and in her mind, it's been going on for days.
So. She went on like a little memory trip.
She went down memory lane.
Yeah.
And she wakes up and is like, in that memory. And then another thing that happens in her memory lane journey is that she kills Worf, because she like goes completely bananas and kills Worf because he's having an affair. And they laugh at her, which is exactly what happened to Officer Dan. And then she fucking decides to kill herself. And then in that moment, Worf shows up and is like, what are you doing? About to kill yourself. So I'll just play that real quick. Well, that just sounded like porn, but whatever.
I opened the maintenance door at Counselor Troy's request, then turned to see her standing too close to the force field.
It all seems so real to me. I can't believe that everything I experienced happened in just those few seconds.
It appears Counselor Troy was correct. Mm. Pierce was partially telepathic. His maternal grandmother was born on Beta Zed.
What else have you found out?
Wait, we skip the part where they catch him, though, right? Because that guy is a fucking creep.
Yeah, that guy was a creep. Well, they didn't actually show them catching him.
Right.
They showed them interviewing him, and then he shows up in the middle of Troy's hallucination to tell her that, I guess, her life's fucked up or whatever.
Also, you gotta be really bold if you're like get caught having an affair and you just laugh at the person, like,
right?
It's like a whole nother level of evil.
But I guess that's what happened to him.
Originally? Yeah, he was laughing at
his girlfriend was cheating on him, and then he opened the door and they laughed at him.
Because
that's what Deanna saw.
Gotcha.
But
right.
But I guess I was wrong too. It's actually not the first time that she went to the nacelle thing.
Yeah, she goes back, and then everybody leaves the room.
She goes back with Worf, and that was the time that she experienced this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, let's see a scene with that creep, because he's really funny and creepy. And clearly, obviously, a murderer.
Yeah.
He's like,
Room, I had an empathic experience.
We believe the counselor may have been seeing an event that occurred 8 years ago.
And I saw you there. Do you have any idea why that might be?
I'm afraid I don't.
Lieutenant, are you aware that I can sense when someone's telling the truth?
I've heard that.
Then I'm sure that if you remember anything that might be relevant to our investigation, you'll contact me.
Of course.
Definitely too confident for somebody.
I know, super confident.
You know when somebody just has that, like, murderer confidence? That's what that guy has. You're like, hey, did you ever do anything crazy 8 years ago exactly when you did this murder? And he's like, not that I remember. Uh-oh, definitely a murderer. That's when those klaxons should go off in your head. Like, talking to a murderer. Like, he's Trump level.
Yeah. Just open about it. Yeah. He's
confidence. Like,
oh, I did do that. And you're
well,
you
know,
be fine with it.
When you're rich and famous, you can just murder them. And nobody stops you. I'm like, whoa. So, yeah, that's it. And then they, like, catch the guy. And they're like, yeah, he was a crazy dude who, like, murdered people all the time. That's not really what they said, but I'll just play that really quick.
It's weird that we let him on the ship. We knew. He said in his application that his interests are love to murder.
And love to murder. Just can't get enough. Bodies piling up. Love him.
Pierce and the other persons Counselor Troy identified were killed in an accidental plasma discharge 8 years ago. Their bodies were never found.
I don't believe it was an accident. I think Lieutenant Pierce found out the other two were having an affair. He lost control and he killed them both. Afterwards, he probably activated the plasma stream and then threw himself into it.
The plasma discharge would have obliterated any evidence that it was murder.
I scanned behind the panel Counselor Troy asked me to. I didn't find any bone fragments but I did find some traces of cellular residue showing some kind of psionic signature.
It may be that when Lieutenant Pierce was struck by the plasma stream, the subspace energy present there imprinted his empathic pattern into the residue.
Kind of like a psychic photograph.
That's what triggered my hallucination. My mind must have taken elements from my own life and then created a situation that in many ways mirrored what happened to Pierce.
I like that Picard just looks so tired.
You hadn't been there.
We've solved it. I'd like to go now.
He's like, God, I need... can I have a normal crew?
So much drama on board this ship.
Is this lower decks?
When I pulled you from the plasma stream, you seemed surprised.
Into me.
I was alive.
Am I wrong?
Well, actually, in my hallucination, you were killed.
I love this part.
Yeah, me too.
May I ask by whom?
Me, bitch!
Well, you know what they say, Mr. Worf. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
I'll kill you.
It's like the hottest, flirtiest "I'll kill you" I've ever heard. Somebody's just being like,
it's also not like "I'll kill you." It's like "I did kill you."
Yeah, it's like
loved it.
Let's just say I ended you. It's like, and he's like, for Worf, that's like the hottest thing you can say.
Yeah, he's like very sub. He loves it.
He's like, no, it's not that he's sub. It's that like in Klingon, everybody's dom. Yeah. So like in Klingon, a woman being like, I will fucking kill you until you're dead. Do you see what I'm saying? And he's like, yeah, I definitely. I'm getting that.
Love to.
Yeah.
Message I'm going to kill you received. Right back.
Oh, and then right I'm going to kill you on top of that. Oh, yes. Kill me. I'll kill you too. That's kind of how Klingons do it. So this was like, she knows exactly what she's doing, you know?
It's a loving, I'll murder you.
It's a loving, I'll murder you.
Yeah.
Which should just, you know, which is a perfect way to wrap up the episode. This is a loving, a loving, I'll murder you, Garrett, if you don't make dinner tonight.
Yeah.
About dinner. Well, thank you for being on this show, Garrett.
Yeah, especially. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you did it, even though you were probably really reluctant to once you heard Veronica wasn't going to be here. But it was okay, right?
It had and Skylar, it has nothing to do with you. It's just, you know, I was really looking forward to talking to Veronica about tennis.
Well, I'm honestly glad we missed that.
I mean, the same amount of hype should have been met for me, so I don't know.
Super. Feel like we all dodged a bullet there.
Yeah. We could talk about tennis. I don't know anything about
no,
it,
we
but
can.
Do you want to just kind of
nope,
go
nope, we've
off?
Run out of time. We run right out
so
of time.
So here's the thing. Yeah, no, I won't.
Right up
won't go there.
Against the limit of time. So, Garrett, you are a musician, so you don't have any comedy podcasts to plug, I imagine. But you do have an album that you played on, which is coming out eventually, and other stuff. So do you want to plug any of that stuff?
Yeah, sure. So I played on a record a couple years ago that is finally getting released by my friend Johanna Samuels. And it's called Excelsior. And there's a really cool music video out called Nature's Way. And the full album drops in May. So check it out. It's great.
All right. Amazing. I'm going to play a clip from that because it is really good. And does she have ads yet? No. Ugh. All right. Well, this is it.
Don't let me stop you in your tracks. I just want to know when you're coming back.
Oops. Didn't mean to stop it. So.
Go get the deal. Go make
it's gonna
your name.
Slowly fade it out. But
say
I
all the names.
No skills. Hear that bass line. That's Garrett.
That's me.
So guys, this is a good place to probably fade out. Thank you, Garrett, for being here, and we'll be with you again next week. Garrett will be here in spirit.
I'll be in another room.
Yeah, in another room, and I'll call in.
as usual, especially if you're 10 minutes away from home. Thanks again, Skylar, for subbing in for us.
Of course,
thanks,
Skylar.
Thanks, Alice. A lot of ex-girlfriends in this video.
Oh, okay. Wait a second. All right. A lot.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.